This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Kick it off hour number three. Let's welcome aboard Reid Forgrave, NBA analyst, reporter for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. Check him out. Hey, Reid, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, guys? How are you? Happy NBA playoffs, guys.
Yes, happy NBA playoffs, Reid. Happy NBA playoffs as the regular season in our rearview mirror. Taz and I were discussing it a little bit last hour. How strange is it for you, Reid, that LeBron, and we knew for a while, but now that it's cemented, no LeBron James in the NBA playoffs. How odd is that?
I think it's good that we had a couple months to adjust to this.
Because true. That's true.
If this were coming down to, you know, like if LeBron had just missed the playoffs, and if he'd come back from that injury and the Lakers had been pretty good, which remember, they were before Christmas. This was a team that was sitting in fourth place. I think it would have been a little bit harder to swallow. But since this has been such an absolute abject disaster in Los Angeles, it's almost like I've adjusted to it. There are other things to pay attention to because there are so many different storylines in the league. The fact that LeBron isn't in the playoffs is much less weird than the way his boss decided to quit the other day, right?
True.
That's like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
We talked about Moose. I'm going to take two. Reid, Moose and I talked about that a lot earlier, the other day, I should say. But earlier we talked about who could break out in the postseason for the NBA, man. So what player would you say? I mean, would it be a guy like Giannis? Or who would you say will be the breakout star who has potential to be that big breakout star now that LeBron's not going to be the talking point?
I mean, Giannis is the next face of the league. To me, it's either him or, and this is thinking probably more like 4 or 5 years down the road, him or Luka Doncic. But what this Bucks team has done, like they're not proven in the postseason. They're not. Like that, Mike Budenholzer is not proven in the postseason. Giannis isn't proven in the postseason. No one on this team, frankly, is really proven in the postseason. But they were historically good this season. Like this Bucks team wasn't just a 60-win team. They were awesome 60-win team. They were better on defense than they were on offense. To me, yeah, it is Giannis. I had my MVP vote for the NBA, which is due today. I sent it in a couple days ago. I was back and forth, Giannis or Harden, Harder, Giannis, and I ended up deciding on Giannis because his team is the better team. And I think these Bucks easily, I don't just think they could make the finals, but I think it is entirely within the realm of possibility that the Bucks could upset the Warriors in the finals.
Wow, that's interesting, Reid. All right, well, let's run through some of the – let's start in the Eastern Conference. And you know, you look at – you know, you would expect both Toronto and Milwaukee to have easy first-round series, correct?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Raptors have an interesting first-round series against the Magic. The Magic over the past two and a half months have been – believe it or not, one of the best teams in the NBA, the single best defensive team in the NBA, but the talent gap is just way too wide. So, yeah, I think both those teams will have it pretty easy.
And Reid, what are you feeling out of with Brooklyn and with Philly?
I think that is going to be potentially the closest first-round series in the East. I worry for the Sixers about Embiid's knee. You assume he's going to play through any sort of pain. But remember, he was injured at the beginning of the first round last year. So I think that's Sixers and six, but I think the Nets will give them a little bit of trouble.
All right, when you look at, you know, and I thought that, you know, I still look at that Celtic-Pacer series, Reid, and want to find out exactly what Boston is, right? And, you know, can they turn it on, ramp it up here in the postseason? We know Indiana's not completely whole, and they've been able to battle through with some injuries. But When you look at that series, I thought that it was a series that I would not be surprised if Indiana pushed Boston to the brink in that series.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction, especially with this Marcus Smart news that he's going to miss the first two rounds of the playoffs, which is big-time danger if the Celtics make it the second round, which I fully expect that they will. Like, Marcus Smart is so important for what they do. He's gotten so much better in the offensive end this year. And to me, he was a first-team all-defensive player. But ultimately, what I think this comes down to is if Victor Oladipo were healthy and on the floor, I'd completely consider taking the Pacers in this series because the Celtics have, we just, like you said, we don't know what this team is. Sometimes they look like the best team in the NBA. Sometimes they look like a completely dysfunctional team that far underperforms their potential. But ultimately, in this series, the Pacers, since they've lost Oladipo, have been below 500. And the Celtics just have too much talent. And you just have to assume they're going to turn it up. So I ultimately think Celtics in 5, maybe 6. But which is unfortunate for the Pacers because they've been one of the most interesting stories in the NBA, how Nate McMillan has just pulled those guys together.
You're listening to Taz and Moose. Our special guest right now is Reed Forsgrave, NBA analyst and reporter for CBS Sports. So, Reed, you touched on it a little bit here about the Bucks and the Pistons. So, basically, it kind of seems like this series is going to more or less stink, let's be honest. So, you feel like the Bucks are just going to cruise right through the deal here?
Complete blowout. The Pistons, yeah. I mean, there were times during the season that they were the hottest team in the NBA. They'd win at 8 out of 10 games. They did that a couple different times. But the talent gap and the fact that the Bucks had by far the best net rating in the NBA and that they have Giannis and there's just nobody on the Pistons who's going to stop Giannis. Yeah, that's going to be a sweep. I feel pretty confident in that one.
You know, Reed, before we jump out west, who do you predict meeting up in the Eastern Conference Finals? Obviously, you have Milwaukee going to the NBA Finals, but who do you have being their final opponent in the East?
You know, I got to be honest, I'm completely torn between the Bucks or the Raptors. I think when I picked it for CBSSports.com, I actually picked the Raptors, which is more of a gut feeling thing. When I just look at these Raptors, I see a team that has more playoff experience than the Bucks, and a team that just feels built for the postseason in a way that we don't know if the Bucks are. The Bucks kind of do what they do, and they do it in an amazing way, but I'm not sure there's nearly as much flexibility as the Raptors have. The Raptors trot out tons of different lineups. They have tons of different looks. So I do have the Raptors actually making the finals, but again, I think it's a total coin flip between those teams. And I think there's a bit of a drop-off between those two teams and the rest of the East.
All right, Reed, so let's head out west, man. Let's talk about the Warriors and the Clippers. California battle here. Break it down. What do you got? What do you think? I mean, I'm assuming you're going to say Warriors, I would think.
This West is where it gets really interesting. Unfortunately, I do not think this series is going to be the most interesting one.
Right.
The Warriors are, I mean, what the storyline here is we might be at the beginning of the end of an era, and we don't know what's going to happen to the Warriors this offseason. We don't know about Kevin Durant.
Right.
We don't know about Boogie Cousins. If you had to ask me to guess, I'm guessing both are gone. Frankly, we don't even know about Klay Thompson, although we probably would assume that he will come back. The Clippers have been, I mean, Doc Rivers, Budenholzer got my coach of the year vote, but Doc Rivers is my number two. This team has outperformed any expectation put on its shoulders from the beginning of the season or from the trade deadline when they traded away their best player. This is a team that I'm buying stock in the future. Again, the talent gap is just too big. The Clippers' biggest strength is their depth, and depth doesn't matter nearly as much during the playoffs. So this could be a sweep. I think when I put in my official votes for CBSSports.com, I put Warriors in 5 just because a little tip of the hat to what the Clippers have done this year.
All right, what about Denver? Taz and I, Reed, were chatting about it earlier. Unbelievable regular season. Now, how do they handle that success here in the postseason? We know how good Jokic is. When they take on a San Antonio team, even though a lot of those veterans are gone, all of them, it's still a San Antonio team. I'm sorry, Reed. What do you think about that Denver-San Antonio matchup?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting here is you got a Denver team that was really, really good during the regular season. Fell off a little bit the past 6 weeks or so. But the biggest question about them is playoff experience. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2013. Mike Malone not proven in the playoffs. Who knows what Jokic is going to look like in the playoffs. And they are going up against like the most playoff experienced team outside the Warriors. You got the Spurs, who haven't missed the playoffs in, what, 2 decades? You got Greg Popovich, who's brilliant. This is a Spurs team that I counted out like on 2 or 3 separate occasions during this season. You know, they start the season, they're below 500 a month and a half in. And it's like, they just aren't made for this. Pop's a genius. We already know that. I think the difference here ultimately becomes Nuggets have home court advantage, and home court advantage is so big when it's the Denver Nuggets. They have the best home court advantage, or one of the best home court advantages in the league. On the flip side, if the Spurs steal one in Denver, I think the Spurs easily could win the series, which would be absolutely devastating for the Nuggets. I went back and forth in the series. Ultimately, I picked the Nuggets in, I think, a 7-game series. I think this is going to be one of the more interesting first-round series that we have.
Well, speaking of interesting first-round series, Reed, I mean, a lot of folks feel the same way about Portland and Oklahoma City. You know, and Paul George got a little bit of a nagging shoulder thing going on. You think this one's going to be as good as people think it's going to be this series?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the Vegas odds, I think the Thunder as the sixth seed are actually favored. That I'm guessing the reason for that is because Blazers lost their big man. They lost Yusuf Nurkic just a couple weeks ago to that just devastating leg injury. Really just an awful thing to happen to a team that's had, you know, a share of bad luck over the past few years. Remember, the Blazers got swept by the Pelicans, as, you know, Blazers as a 3 seed last year as well. That was an absolutely devastating loss. My honest answer in this series is I don't know who to pick. I think the Thunder could easily make the conference finals just because when they've looked at their best this year, they look like the second best team in the West. But frankly, they haven't looked at their best since All-Star break. Because of that, you mentioned that Paul George nagging shoulder injury. That's a problem. If Paul George is the Paul George that we saw before the All-Star break, when he was a top three MVP candidate, might have even had my vote for MVP at that point, I think OKC wins this series. But we'll see. I mean, right now I'm picking OKC in this series, but I think they are a big fat question mark because their offense is such a disaster at times. And that kind of, you know, Blazers without Yusuf Nurkic aren't great, but the fact that their biggest weakness without Yusuf Nurkic is Enes Kanter and his defense, well, guess what? The Thunder aren't exactly the greatest scoring team in the NBA.
All right, how about that 4-5 matchup, Rockets and Jazz?
I think this is going to be a lot closer than people expect. I was at that series last year, and people, you look at it now and you're like, oh, whatever, you know, Rockets 1-5. I thought it was a lot closer of a series than that. And the only reason that it became kind of a blowout in the last game or two was the Jazz had injuries. Dante Exum was injured again this year, and I actually thought he was a big part of why they were able to shut down Harden at points last year in the playoffs. But now you got Ricky Rubio hurt again. He was hurt last year in the playoffs. I think that's a big problem for the Jazz, whether he's playing, first of all, and whether he's at 100%. I think this is going to be a really close series. I'm ultimately going to pick the Rockets. I think the Jazz are a little bit better than they were last year, and I think the Rockets are a little bit worse. So this is one of, I would say probably there are 3 series in the West that I think could go 7 games. Every single one except the Warriors-Clippers I think could go 7 games, and this is one that I think actually will go 7 games. I'm picking the Rockets in 7, but that's not a good thing for James Harden to have 7 games on his legs before going into what we presume will be the Warriors in the second round.
All right, Reed, so you have Toronto coming out of the East, Toronto or Milwaukee, but you settled in on Toronto for CBSSports.com. You have Warriors coming out of the West?
Yeah, I do.
And Warriors winning it all?
I don't think there's anyone else. I do think this will mark the end of an era, because I think next year, I'm presuming KD and Boogie are both gone, and they need to kind of, you know, reconfigure things around Steph and Clay.
Reed, 2 more before we let you go. We've chatted a lot about the Lakers, and it's been a huge topic of conversation nationwide with Magic stepping down in the strange way that he did you know, earlier this week. Number one, where do the Lakers go from here? Number two, do you think LeBron James has any second thoughts about deciding to go to L.A. and the Lakers last July?
I think he does, if championships is what matters most to him. But I honestly, the flip side of that is LeBron's going for something different. He's going for quality of life. And, man, you ever be a billionaire in L.A.? L.A.'s a great place to live, especially if you're a billionaire.
Yeah, no doubt.
I get the sense that, look,
I'd like to know that feeling, Reed, at some point in my life.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I get the sense that LeBron is, look, is he bummed out by this? Yeah, man, absolutely. But is he devastated in the way that he was devastated after the Heat loss to the Mavericks and that back in 2011? I don't think so. Like, after that series, LeBron went into a cave, and he basically went into his bedroom for a month, sulked and, you know, plotted and decided he was going to destroy everyone when he came out of that bedroom, and he did. That was, like, probably the biggest shaping moment of LeBron's career was that failure against the Mavericks. What did he do after this season was over? Oh, he went and hung out with his boy, Dwayne Wade, for his last game, and he kind of, you know, was pulled out the last few weeks of the season, which was the right call, 100% the right call. LeBron shouldn't have played once the team was so far out of it and they were tanking. I get the sense that LeBron has other things going right now, and that the fact that this team didn't win a championship, well, I'm pretty sure LeBron knew the moment they didn't sign another superstar in the offseason, they weren't going to win a championship. He wants to win a championship for L.A., but he believes his legacy is secure. So I tend to think that, is he bummed about it? Yeah, man, absolutely. Is he like, this is the worst decision I've ever made, and I can't believe I did this, and looking for a way out? I get the sense that LeBron's just in a different spot in life, that he no longer feels that everything he does will be judged by a championship. As far as this offseason, they're going to try to get Anthony Davis again. It's probably going to fail. They're going to try to sign another big-time free agent. It's probably going to fail. And then it's up to Rob Pelinka or whoever else is in the helm to figure out ways to cobble things together around this young core plus LeBron. This young core is good. We need to remember that. As much of a disaster as this year was, a lot of this just had to do with injuries. They'd be in the playoffs if LeBron was healthy. And frankly, we got to remember Lonzo Ball was a big, big part of this team. Now that he's not wearing big baller shoes, maybe his ankles will be good. Maybe that's the biggest adjustment the Lakers need to make in the offseason, is to get Lonzo Ball into some good shoes and to get a couple shooters around LeBron, and then the team will be just fine. They'll be a five-seed next season. That's kind of what I'm expecting.
You know, and Reed, you know, for everyone expecting what Zion Williamson is going to be in the NBA, do you think there's any way he can live up to all the expectations that are going to be on him coming out of what we saw at Duke?
I think there's a way. I think it's going to be really hard for him to live up to those expectations, because anything short of being the MVP is going to be short of those expectations. I think Zion Williamson is going to be an all-star. I think he's going to be awesome. The comparison that I make is, on the offensive end, he's a bigger and more athletic Julius Randle. That sounds like a backhanded compliment. It's not. That player I just mentioned, Julius Randle, averages like 21-10 in the NBA, a better and more athletic version of him, plus a guy who is, you know, maybe not elite, but really, really good on the defensive end. That's an all-star. I think Zion Williamson's an all-star and will be probably within the first 4 or 5 years of his career. He's not going to come out and be an all-star right away. What he is going to be is going to be a relevance shifter. Whatever team gets him immediately sells tickets at home and on the road. They get national NBA games. They become a team that matters. And look, chasing championships really, really matters. But I think teams like, I live in Minnesota. You don't think the Timberwolves would love to matter at a national level? You don't think a team like the Phoenix Suns would love to matter? I think that stuff matters to ownership. And that's what Zion Williamson's going to bring. He's going to bring that in a way that, you know, maybe no player that we've ever seen coming out of college will bring. Maybe since like Shaq, no player will bring the sort of relevance coming out of college that Zion will bring, and that's incredibly valuable to an NBA team.
Reed Forgrave covers the NBA for CBS Sports. Hey, Reed, thank you for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Reed.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the action this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.